Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. We have a big docket for you today, so let's get started. First on the docket, another example of judges not changing their mind once they've ruled. This one is in the Derek Chauvin matter. Second, prosecutors in the Rittenhouse case are told no. Three, don't mess with this mom. Fourth, it's a dangerous, scary world out there. Fifth, if you can't trust your pediatrician, who can you trust? Sixth, Lori Loughlin wants her passport back. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and a recap for our contestants for the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that little subscribe button as well as the little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, please leave me a comment below about the stories that we discussed today. First on the docket, that's right. The other day, we talked about Mark Means in the Lori Vallow matter filing a motion to reconsider, basically saying, Judge, please reconsider. Well, we have another example of why judges don't change their mind. Here, it's in the Derek Chauvin matter. As you may recall, the judge in the Derek Chauvin matter had dismissed the counts of third-degree homicide against Mr. Chauvin. The prosecutors then refiled a motion to consider, because they'd already done another one that the court had denied, saying, hey, judge, there's this other case out there which says that you should reinstate this charge. And guess what? That's right. The judge, Judge Peter Cahill, said no. First, he stated he disagreed with the split ruling in the case that was cited by the prosecutors. And second, he believes that it's not binding case law or authority yet because the defendant in that particular case still has further appellate rights to go before the matter can be absolutely finalized. What is the moral of that story? That's right. Judges don't change their minds once they've ruled. If you file a motion to reconsider, you better have some new information and some new grounds for the court to consider, like the prosecutors did in the Chauvin matter. However, the judge still didn't change his mind. Also on the Chauvin matter, there's some information floating around out there that early on in the Chauvin matter, Derek Chauvin was prepared to enter a guilty plea and basically go spend at least 10 years in prison. But he wanted it to be in federal prison, and it made its way all the way up to the top of the Department of Justice when then attorney Bill Barr said, no way, things are moving too fast. The attorneys for Chauvin are trying to push this thing through too quickly. And basically he believed that the public wouldn't be satisfied with a 10-year sentence, and so he put a kibosh to that arrangement. Now Derek Chauvin faces state charges, and he always has the risk that the feds will somehow file civil rights violations, whether he prevails at trial or whether he loses at trial. And this trial is going to be interesting. Obviously, the prosecution's theory is that Derek Chauvin killed George Floyd. Derek Chauvin's defense is going to be that George Floyd died of a drug overdose and that he did nothing to contribute to that, and basically that he would have died anyway. I know that'll probably upset some people, but that's the theory of defense. We're going to see at trial. The trial's going to be televised, so get ready. Tell me if I'm wrong when it comes out. I don't think I'm going to be. Next on the docket, the prosecutors in the Kyle Rittenhouse case are told no. A Wisconsin judge on Thursday denied a request by the prosecutors to increase Kyle Rittenhouse's $2 million bond and issue an arrest warrant for him after the prosecutors argued that the teenager charged in the fatal shooting of two men at a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, violated the terms and conditions of his release and bond by failing to report to the court the address of a safe house that he was staying at, which he moved. The district attorney wanted an increase of some $200,000 and have Mr. Rittenhouse rearrested until he posted that additional $200,000. The court said, I don't even have the authority to issue the warrant that the district attorney is asking for, and that the court completely disagreed with the analysis of the district attorney as it related to why and if any bond conditions were violated. The court noted that it's very unusual for the court to have the home address of the defendant, but the prosecutor said, hey, this is a very serious case. We need to know where he is so that we can make sure that Kyle Rittenhouse is complying with the terms and conditions of his bond. The attorney for Mr. Rittenhouse stated in open court, just as he did in his pleadings, stating that Mr. Rittenhouse has moved from his mother's residence for safety reasons. And if the court and the district attorney really want that address, then he will file that address with the court as long as it is maintained under seal, which means no one except for the parties in the case can have access to that document. The court agreed. The district attorney went away upset, and I'm sure he will continue to try again. Next on the docket, don't mess with this mom. Take a look at this video. This is Phyllis Pena. She is tackling a peeping Tom, an alleged peeping Tom, I should say, Zane Hawkins, 19, who was looking through Pena's 15-year-old daughter's window. Thank goodness she wasn't home. But needless to say, Pena and some neighbors spotted him, called the police. When he tried to run away, she took him out and took him out hard. She is doing what mothers are supposed to do, and that is to protect their children. Next on the docket, it is a dangerous, scary world out there, everyone. This is why you have to be so vigilant and take care of yourself. Now, Joseph Johnson, he's currently in custody on a $500,000 bond regarding an alleged burglary and sexual assault. It's alleged that back on September of 19th, he allegedly broke into some cars as well as stole some other items at a train station, where he decided basically to break into a woman's home where he allegedly sexually assaulted her, stole cash from her, and then left. The homeowner reported the matter and then installed surveillance cameras around her residence after the incident. It's alleged that Mr. Johnson goes back a couple of days later and attempts to destroy the surveillance cameras and video. But look at the getup that he is in. He returns with a clown face painted on with makeup. And is that not scary and creepy or what? Well, he's been arrested. There's DNA evidence. And he remains in custody where, more than likely, he belongs. We will give him the presumption of innocence, as we do everyone. But I'm telling you, it is a scary world out there, people. I had a case very similar to this where literally had a client, was on a bus, literally sees somebody, pulls the little string, the bus stops, he gets off, follows the woman as she is trying to get into her apartment. He breaks in and does bad, bad things. Always be vigilant of your surroundings. Be careful. Take care of yourself. It is a scary, scary world out there. On that note, you should go to crimetalksearch.com if you have any doubts about anyone and do a background search. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about, what was in their background? Now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever. But if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. You can also go to Crime Talk Offers so as to make sure the Mr. Johnsons of the world don't do anything. But if they do attempt it, At least it's on video that you can give to the police. Next on the docket, if you can't trust your pediatrician, who can you trust? Case out of California. A 33-year-old Californian pediatrician is under arrest after he's alleged to have attempted to lure an underage girl to engage in sexual acts. Obviously, we'll give the good doctor, Dr. Dylan O'Connor, the presumption of innocence, who now no longer works at the Stanford Health Lucile Packard Children's Hospital after he was arrested and booked on charges of traveling to meet a minor for lewd purposes and sending harmful material to a juvenile. Both obviously are felonies. The good doctor will have some professional ramifications if he's convicted of this, which means he would more than likely lose his license to practice medicine. But that also assumes that, you know, he doesn't go to prison or have to register as a sex offender. It's a little tough for a pediatrician to be around people under the age of 18 if you are in fact convicted. The police were tipped off regarding another police jurisdiction stating that their Crimes Against Children unit was monitoring illegal exchanges of electronic images, and they traced back to the good doctor in this situation. The investigation further revealed that the adult male, the good doctor, was attempting to lure a self-declared underage female to a designated location with the intent to engage in sexual activity with her. Police also executed a search warrant of the suspect's home, which led to the seizure of electronic devices in an effort to identify more possible victims. In these type of cases, there's usually more than one victim, that's for sure. We'll give Dr. Dylan O'Connor the presumption of innocence. We'll continue to follow that case. This is why some people have no faith left in humanity. If you can't trust your medical doctor, the pediatrician, for God's sakes, who can you trust? There was a similar case here in the state of Colorado where the pediatrician was asking the young boys to walk around in their undergarments in various duck walks, and he was videotaping it for his own pleasure. Scary world out there, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not just me telling you this. We can back it up with facts and cases. Next on the docket, Lori Loughlin would like her passport back. That's right, Lori Loughlin, who is wrapped up in the college admission scheme where she was going to pay $500,000 in bribes to get her children into colleges that they were not qualified to get into. Well, she would apparently like to travel again. The passport is in the possession of the pretrial services offices. That's where she was ordered to give it up to when she was indicted. As a condition of her release, she could not travel outside of the country. It's not uncommon for defendants to have to surrender their passports so they can't leave the country, right? Because they'd be a flight risk. Particularly if you have the resources of Lori Loughlin, you could jump on a private jet and go. But if you have no passport, you can't get into the other country. Although Lori Loughlin would apparently like to travel outside of the United States, she can't make any plans to go with her husband because he doesn't get released until April. And the United States government does not object to Ms. Loughlin's request to have her passport returned. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and a quick recap of all of our contestants throughout the week. Our contestant today, Mr. Joseph Davis, is going to be a personal favorite of mine, just based upon what he has done. Mr. Davis is charged with felony grand theft. It turns out that he had two girlfriends. One girlfriend knew him as Joe Brown. The other girlfriend knew him as Marcus Brown. It turns out that Mr. Davis, aka Joe Brown, aka Marcus Brown, stole a wedding ring from his girlfriend so that he could propose to the other girlfriend. It is alleged that one girlfriend was looking at his Facebook page and realized that there was a wedding band and that the woman that he was with had a very similar wedding band that she had from a previous marriage. She then went and checked her jewelry box to find that it was, in fact, missing. The girlfriend where the jewelry was robbed says that in addition to the former wedding band that she had, other jewelry was stolen, valued at about $6,000. So Mr. Davis is a player and making lots of mistakes by putting his life on social media when he's running a double life. Sounds very similar to the former police chief that had his wife and two girlfriends discover that they were all together in a relationship, even though they'd all never met and he was married. So Mr. Davis, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day, although you tried. You tried, I guess we have to give you that. Now, a quick recap of our contestants for the week. First, we had Yuri Andrade, that's right, the streaker, entered the Super Bowl and ran across the field, but really wasn't naked, but a streaker, but you know what I'm saying, and he got caught. They always get caught. There's no way you're gonna get it out of the stadium not being caught. Then we had Blakely Sands, who called the police in Oklahoma when her fake ID was seized, and by God, she wanted it back, whereupon everybody realized that it was a fake ID and she was attempting to influence a public official. Then on Wednesday, we had Dustin Tyrell, who wanted his Cinnabon so bad that he threw rocks through the window of the Wendy's where they served the Cinnabon because he needed his Cinnabon. And then who could forget Mr. James Cushman, who wanted to protest and make his civil rights known by exposing himself at a crowded intersection. Needless to say, you can't do that. And as always, yes, Mr. Joseph Davis, our contestant today, who steals one ring from his girlfriend to give to his other girlfriend so that they can get engaged. It is Valentine's Day coming up. You gotta love it. All right. Make your selection below. Leave us a comment who you think should be the dumb criminal contestant, who's gonna get cool Crime Talk merchandise. That's right, we'll mail it to the contestant, whoever wins. And if you would like your own Crime Talk merchandise, please hit the link below. You can order it. Don't even have to be a dumb criminal contestant. And frankly, you'll probably appreciate it more because you ordered it, picked it out yourself, maybe picked the color, whatever you wanted. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week. Don't forget to check out our weekly recap that comes out on Saturday. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you next time on Crime Talk.